Excited because we know the Word of God brings forth life. And if you trust in the Word of God, He will do His part. He will come in and He will show Himself strong in your life. And the Word of God tells us it's because He loves us. And because He loves us, He wants the very best for your life. And we just simply say, yes, Lord, I desire this, Lord, I desire of you. And just watch the pouring of God's blessings just come forth in your life as you look to Him. Why don't we go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we come into your most awesome presence and we seek after you, Lord, because where you are, there is truly a great abundance of your love, your peace, and your joy. And Father God, we are ready to receive from you this very day. And I pray as your Holy Spirit's presence comes and fills us up, overflowing of your goodness, I pray, Lord, our hearts, our minds will give full attention to what you speak into our lives this very hour. So, Lord, we come with a heart that is truly surrendered and submitted to you. And the Bible tells us, when we resist the devil, he will have to flee. He has no part in our lives because we belong to you. We are property of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this time. It's in your hands. Speak through me, Lord. Speak through me so that your children may hear your words of life. We give you praise, Lord, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. We pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise amen. God. Hallelujah. Well, today, the title of my sermon, is The Six Absolutely Best Places You Would Ever Want to Be. But what do you think? What do you think are the top six best places in this world that you would want to be? Well, you know, I was reading an article the other day. It was written by a travel expert that listed the best five places on earth that you would ever want to live or to be in. You want to know what that top five places are? Well, first is Sydney, Australia. Then Chiang Mai, Thailand. London, England. Queenstown, New Zealand. And Innsbruck, Austria. You guys been there before? No? Oh, Innsbruck, how is that? Is it beautiful there? Wow. And I heard things like New Zealand too. It's just like, oh man, this is like scenery you could never imagine. I mean, they say it's just as beautiful as like what we got here in Hawaii. I mean, so beautiful landscape and mountains and the ocean. Wow. But you know what? The reasons for these choices, for picking out these top five places that he thinks are the best in the world, the reasons are because nature and scenery. He talks about the vast ocean and mountain views. And the other thing is about the cost of living being so low. And that's probably why Hawaii isn't on this list. But other things like great nightlife, friendly people, shopping malls and restaurants galore. And here's the thing, though. It's not recommended for those who have no self-control with their credit card. It sounds good, right? You can go shopping and you go to these restaurants, but as long as we have control over that plastic piece of card. But you know what? It sounds all good, right? I mean, it certainly pleases our physical senses to hear about all these things. Yeah, the things that we can see, the things we can experience. What about our spiritual sense? How can our spiritual sense come alive? What do we get excited about when it concerns our spirituality? Well, you know, in Ezekiel 43, we find that the prophet Ezekiel is in the courtyard of God, the inner courtyard. And this is what he says. Look in your notes. Ezekiel 43:5. It says here, then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Can you just imagine if you were the prophet Ezekiel, what kind of experiences you'd be going through right now? I'm sure your physical senses would just come alive. Wow. But more so, your inner spirit. The Bible calls this our spiritual man. Can you just imagine you're in the presence of God and what that is like? Because when you are in the glory of the Lord, there is a fullness of His presence. And when there's a fullness of His presence, you may feel a little overwhelmed, but it's all good. Because in the presence of God, there is an abundance of His love, His peace, and His joy. So So I inquired of the Lord. I said, well, what exactly is it like to be in the fullness of the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ? And he showed it to me. And through the scriptures, we realized, yeah, we can experience this fullness of Christ. Look what it says here in number one. It says, in his hand for safety. You can write it up like hand. In his hand for safety. Look what it says here in John 10, verses 27 to 29. Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Just think about that. We are in our Father's hand's grip. And we can be assured of this, that he is constantly watching over us. His hand is protecting us. His hand is guiding us. I was reading this story the other day about this little boy who was eagerly looking forward to this birthday party of a friend. All week, he's thinking about, oh, I can't wait to go to this party. And he's letting his parents know, man, I'm so excited. And it's only a few blocks away. So, oh, no problem. I'll get there like only like 5-10 minutes, you know, just walking. But when the day finally arrived, a blizzard had come and made the sidewalks and the roads nearly impassable. And the boy's father, sensing danger, hesitated to let his son go. And, you know, the youngster, he reacted cheerfully. Oh, come on, Dad. I've been waiting for this. Please let me go. All the other kids will be there. Their parents are letting them go. Please let me go. Please, please, please. And, you know, the father kind of thought for a moment and then replied, all right, son, you may go. Well, the young lad, he's surprised, but he's overjoyed. So he bundles up all his winter clothes and he plunges right into the raging storm. And the snow made visibility almost impossible, and it took him almost half an hour to trudge through all of this snow to get to this party. And as he rang the doorbell, he turned briefly back to look into the storm, and his eye caught the shadow of a figure that just dodged behind the tree. He said, what was that? Maybe it was a dog or something. It turns out it was his father. He had followed his son's every step to make sure he arrived safely. And not only that, his father waited out in the cold storm for his son to come out after an hour and a half at that party. And when he had come out, he followed his son back home. Oh. And you think about that. Isn't that like the love of our Father God? Because a lot of times people say, oh no, I'm only to fear God. No, don't you know he's almighty God? Yes, he is. But he also calls himself our Father. And not only that, he calls himself Abba Father. And we are to call him Daddy God. And we realize we have this special intimate relationship with our God. And a lot of people, they don't understand it. They can't grasp that. How can you say that? He's almighty, yes. He's almighty in power and presence, but he is almighty in his great love for you and for me. You know, I got to tell you, when my son was 4 years old, and actually I forgot to ask him permission if I could share this. I usually do, but I'm sure it's okay because this is when he was 4 years old. And I remember, it's okay, son, right? Yeah, it's okay. Thanks. So I remember when he was 4 years old, I dropped him off at his preschool. But when I was ready to leave, I just noticed there was a big frown on his face. I mean, you know the kind where the bottom lip just totally comes out? And I looked at him and I saw like tears forming in his eyes. And I tried to comfort him and I said, son, I'm going to be back in several hours. You're going to have a great day. It's okay. But, you know, he pulled on my arm, and he says, Dad. And he's telling me, no, don't go. Don't go. And, you know, the bell rang, and the teacher assured me, Mr. Ewan, he's going to be okay. Don't worry. You know, kids, they sometimes act like this. It's going to be okay. So I kind of looked at him, okay, son, I'm going to be back in several hours. Don't worry. Okay? I remember as I left the room, I turned back and I looked at my son. Guess what? That frown was still there. That bottom lip was protruding out. And I was like, oh. I said, Dan, don't look. Don't look. Keep going. Keep going. And as I kept on going, I remember I was like maybe 20 feet away. I looked back. And I couldn't help myself. And I ducked under a window. I remember his classroom was out here. I ducked under him and I kept peeking. And I remember I just like did this for like about 5 minutes. And I'm thinking, okay, I know my son, he can't see what I'm doing. And the teacher, she's teaching the class. And I remember, okay, I'm just gonna stay here. Then suddenly the teacher comes out, Mr. Yuan, you're gonna have to leave. Okay, I'm sorry, I got busted, right? But I just thought about this, you know, because the very fact, you know, my son didn't know I was there. But for me to just make sure he was okay, that was of great importance to me. Man, I just remembered, after I left, I was just praying for him. But I realized, man, I know my son, he is in my father's hands, great. He's gonna be taken care of. But you realize too that our Father, he's so concerned about us like this, because, you know, for me, just to know he's okay, that's what gives me peace. That's what gives me comfort. And sometimes I gotta remember, it's my Father God that also has a constant eye upon my children, upon my family. And when we realize this is the kind of love our Father God has for us, he keeps a watchful eye, because sometimes people tell me, Pastor Ben, I know God, he's always watching over me, but sometimes I feel like violated. Like I can't have any privacy. Well, I said, don't you realize our Father God watches over you because he's making sure you're safe at all times? It's not about you having your privacy. It's about you knowing that our Father God never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Look what it says here in Psalm 139, 1-3. It says, oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel, and when I rest at home, you know everything that I do. God knows everything that we do. Think about that. He knows everything. Even when you lock the door behind you in your bedroom, you're thinking, okay, I can get away with this. No one knows, but guess who's watching? God is. And he's watching because he wants to make sure you're safe, that you're taken care of. And this is the kind of love that comes from our Father God. Well, number two here, where else would you want to be? The greatest place, another great, great place to be is at his feet to be taught. At his feet to be taught. You know, in Luke 8, Jesus meets up with a man who is possessed by many demons. And it tells us there are like over 2,000 demons, and they call themselves Legion. And this man was treated like a wild animal. The Bible tells us he was shackled up in chains and he was naked and living in a graveyard. Can you imagine that? So Jesus confronts the demon spirits in this man and he casts them out where? Into a herd of pigs. Because that's what the demons requested. I want you to look what it says here in Luke 8:35. It's in your notes. It says, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found a man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus's where? Feet. Dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I want you to notice where the position of this man is. He's seated where? At his feet, below Jesus, at his feet. And you know, in many cultures, this is a sign of reverence and respect. For some, they teach you to never stand above someone who is older than you or of higher position, like a boss or even a teacher or whatever like that. And here's the thing. If they are seated, right, this older person or whoever, and you want to talk to them, you must get below them. So if you're going to talk to them, you're going to have to kneel down or you're going to have to sit at their feet. And that's in some cultures, and in some cultures also, they teach this about men and women, that women have to show this kind of respect to men. But that's the culture, right? But you got to understand, with these verses I've just discussed with you, because the man, he's in a humbled position now, because he's humbled before Jesus, and these demon spirits know this. So they're not going to dare come near this man, because they know he's now lifted up by God. And Jesus teaches us this. You want to be exalted by the Lord? You must get low. You must humble yourself. Look what it says here in Luke 14:10-11, when Jesus teaches us this parable. He says here, but when you are invited to a wedding feast, take the what? The lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humble, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Wow. And I gotta tell you, because I talk to a lot of men, you know, I attend a lot of men's groups, and the men's group that we have now, we talk about this a lot, because sometimes men, we struggle with pride. We gotta be honest with this, and we realize sometimes we think we have to be the one that is always right. But you know what? The Bible clearly tells us, if you do not let your pride down, there's going to come a point where God's going to humiliate you. And it sounds mean, but no, it's because he loves you. If you're letting pride just enter in, and it's growing and it's growing and it's growing, God's going to have to intervene. And that means he's going to humiliate you, and then you're going to realize, man, I'm in a terrible position to be in right now. But God says, I'm going to restore you. As you humble yourself before me, you're going to be restored. You're going to be renewed. And that's when we realize the power of God will come forth. And when we're humble before the Lord, here's the other thing. You're going to have great understanding of the Word of God. I find myself a lot of times when I'm letting pride in, when I'm thinking, oh yeah, but I'm right, but I'm right. And I try to read the Word of God. I tell you, everything just flies overhead me. Nothing ever sinks in, because I'm filled with pride. Not until I let go of that. I say, Lord, cleanse me. Oh, help me to be a humble person. And then I go back to the Word. I tell you, oof, the Word just starts coming in. And he gives me fresh and new revelation. And I'm so alive in the Word. This is key, brothers and sisters. You must humble yourself before the Lord, before his Word can enter in and touch your heart. You must humble yourself before God. Look what it says here in Jeremiah 44:10. It says here, to this day they have not humbled themselves or shown reverence, nor have they followed my law and the decrees I set before you and your ancestors. This is talking about God's people. He's talking to the prophet Jeremiah. His people have not humbled themselves. They started worshiping idols. They started living a life that is truly not reflective of God. And because of that, look what it says here. They're not following his word. They are not following his law. Why? Because they're not humble before the Lord. Because you may read the word of God, but it doesn't touch your heart. Because you're not humble. You see what I'm saying? When you're humble, your heart is more ready to receive from the Lord. So that's why we almost have to make sure every single day that we are totally humble before him. And you're just going to watch what the power of the Word of God will do in your life. Then it will truly manifest itself in your life. And you're going to see the miracles happen as you come with this kind of heart.
Amen.
Amen? Praise God.
Good preaching.
Praise God. And here's the other thing. That's the way we get a teachable spirit. Just like that man seated at the feet of Jesus. Because the Bible tells us now he possesses what? A right mind. Now his mind is right. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus and his mind is right. And it tells us now he's dressed, because he was running around naked, strapped to chains. And now he's in the right mind. He probably knew, hey, I got to put some clothes on here. And that's what we got to realize. It's only when we're humble before the Lord. God will show you what is right, and you will do what is right. Amen? Amen. Well, number three here, it says on his shoulder for support. To write in that blank, shoulder. On his shoulder for support. Look what it says here in Luke 15, 3 to 6. It says, then Jesus told him this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on where? His shoulder. And then goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. And here's the thing, when we're feeling a little down, a little discouraged, sometimes don't you just want a shoulder to lean on? And the person doesn't have to say anything. And sometimes I'll just go to my wife, or she'll come to me and she'll just put her head on my shoulder, or I'll put my head on her shoulder. And we can just be comforted that way. You know, she doesn't have to say anything, I don't have to say anything. It's just realizing, man, I've got a shoulder to lean on. And just like that song, you guys know that song, Lean On Me. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. But you realize, just that song, man, I got a shoulder to lean on. That is what brings me joy. But you know what? In the same way Jesus says, not only can you lean on me, I'm going to carry you on my shoulder. I want all of you, my child, he says. I'm going to put you on my shoulder, and I'm going to walk you through this storm. That's what God promises. That's how much Jesus loves us. I want to tell you about this missionary. His name is John Patton, and he went to the New Hebrides Island, and he witnessed to these uncivilized natives. And when he got there, he was just so shocked and appalled by the brutality of these tribal people. And he had a difficult time translating certain passages of the Bible into their language. And it seemed that this particular group, they had no word for the word believe. And so can you imagine, he's going to tell them, oh, believe in Jesus, but they don't have a word for believe. So then one day, one of the natives came into his hut, and he flopped himself onto his chair, and he stretched out and propped his legs on another chair. And this person, he then expressed how good it felt to lean his whole weight on these chairs. And the missionary quickly wrote down that expression. And here's the thing, he used that expression to describe what it means to believe, to lean your whole weight on. Because when we believe in the promise of eternal life, we can lean our whole weight on Jesus. And we realize that's what God wants us to do, because to believe in the gospel message is to transfer the full weight of your concerns, of your problems, unto the finished work of Jesus Christ. And you know, some people tell me, wait a minute, Pastor, I know some new believers say, isn't that mean? You want to give all your problems to God? You want to give all your filth and your muck and your dirty laundry to God? I said, yes, because he says so. He said to cast all your burdens upon me, and I will sustain you. He calls us to give all that dirty rags to him. And you know, some people say, no, I don't want to do that. Well, I say, if you don't do that, you're going to hold on to all the stressors of life, and you'll never experience the peace of God. God requires you of this, because sometimes it can be a pride issue. Because don't you realize we're talking about God here? God, who is the creator of this universe. He made everything that you see here. Everything you experience, he made it. And if you give it to him, God says, I'm going to replace that. Because now you're showing to me, you're submitting to me, that you believe that I'm all in all. You're believing that when it comes to surrendering all, it means all. And this shows that you're depending on God. So God wants it, but you must let go of it, because once you let go, God's going to replace whatever that trouble is, whatever your problem is, whatever that stressor is, God's going to replace it with more of him. more of his love, more of his peace, more of his joy. This is the only way. You must surrender it to him and say, Lord, I give it to you. Lord, now fill me up with more of you. And that's what God wants from us. And as you do it, you're going to see how things will just come into place. But things can happen. Because a lot of times people come to me, I keep praying to God, but nothing's happening. So did you truly surrender it? Total surrender. It means you're not going to be pacing around in the middle of the night worried about your problem. Because if you do, it shows you haven't surrendered it. You must have peace. You must have joy. And you're going to have a sound sleep, a restful sleep, when you can give it all to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We're number four here. It says, on his bosom for fellowship. On his bosom for fellowship. Look what it says here in John 21:20. It says here, then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? In this verse, I just want you to notice just that level of intimacy that Jesus had with his disciples. I mean, it was close, very close. There was love that you know was genuine, that is more than real. And it tells us the disciple that he's loved is talking about John. And John was leaning on the chest, because that's what a bosom is, right? The bosom is the chest. And Jesus was allowing John to lean on his chest. Can you just imagine just the level of intimacy? It shows there was great love. And John, feeling comfortable enough to ask him anything, whatever was on his mind or in his heart, he asked. And he asked, so who is it that's going to betray you, Lord? But then Peter, he interrupts and he asks, so what's going to happen to this man that will betray you, Lord? And Jesus says, what does that matter to you? Just follow me. And the whole point of this is we got to realize, yes, the Lord always wants us to come to him with our heart just wide open. And we are to express whatever is in our heart. But we got to make sure we don't get to the point of complaining. But we just go in and have that kind of intimacy with God, because that's what he wants from us. And to develop this level of intimacy, though, we know it takes time. It just doesn't happen overnight. Just imagine if you just met someone and all of a sudden, okay, let's sit down. I'm going to tell you my whole life story. I'm going to tell you all my problems. I'm going to tell you everything about me. And you share everything. It doesn't happen like that. You can't just, you know, hug that person and hold his hand. It doesn't work like that. To develop a strong level of intimacy, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. But all of us, we got to be willing to put in the time. We got to put in that effort. If you really want to get to know the brother and sister, we got to make the time and the effort. You got to have the willingness to spend time with them and get into the person's mind and into his heart. And as you do, you're going to be accountable to each other. There's going to be a strong bond of friendship, a strong bond of brotherly and sisterly love. But we got to make the time and effort. Because a lot of times we'll say, oh, I don't have the time. I don't have the means right now to spend time with that person. No, you say whatever it takes. And then you get to know person in an intimate level. Look what it says there in Hebrews 10:25. And it tells us, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but what? Encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And it says, do not neglect, because it is easy to neglect. We can give 1,001 reasons why we can't meet. But then you kind of wonder, why is that, you know, brother or sister not wanting to spend time with me? But it could be us too, right? We're not making the effort. But this is the key to intimacy, not only with other people, it's also with God. Because a lot of times we say, oh, I can't open up my Bible because I got a lot of work I got to do from the office. And instead, you do that instead of opening up the Word of God and spending time with him. And that can be a way of neglecting that time of intimacy with God. We can't do that. Because once you start doing that, guess what? It's going to be more and more time away from God. It's going to be more and more time in the world, doing the things what you think is of greatest importance. And sooner than you know it, your relationship with God will start to deteriorate. You got to make it a point that this is my first priority. Because just think about it like this. That you have a special place, you know, in your kitchen or whatever. And just imagine, if you haven't shown up like at a specific time, let's say you do it like 7:30 in the morning. Can you just imagine Jesus is sitting alone at the table all by himself. He's waiting for you, and you don't show up. Can you imagine the hurt that Jesus may be going through? He's waiting. He's waiting. He's wanting to fellowship with you, but you're not willing. You've got other important things to do. Just think about it. That's what I do. And I don't want to stand up my Savior. I want to make sure what time I sit with him, I'm going to be there. Amen?
Amen.
Number five here, it says, in his arms for rest. In his arms for rest. Look what it says here in Deuteronomy 33:27. It says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemies before you, saying, destroy them. And ask yourself, when you talk about a place of refuge, what kind of experiences, what kind of feelings come to mind when you're in a place of refuge? What do you feel? Peace. What do you feel? Rested.
Harmony.
I'm sorry?
Harmony.
Harmony. Good. You just feel like you're safe. You're protected. You have no worries. You know you're going to be safe right where you are. And that's what God wants us to be, knowing that we have a refuge in Christ Jesus. I remember someone once said, you know, Jesus, he does not want to be just resident in you. He wants to be president in you. Just think about that for a second. Jesus does not just want to be resident in you. He wants to be president in you. And you think about it. Let's say a president or a CEO of a company. They're in charge, right? Do they call all the shots? Yes. They're the ones that determine, okay, this is where the company's going to go. This is what we're going to do. These are the changes that we're going to make. Realizing that Jesus is the president over your life. Are you allowing him to call all the shots in your life? Or do you still make the major decisions? Oh, Lord, I don't think you really want me to move there. Lord, I'm staying here. You know, if the Lord speaks to you, he's president. He's calling the shots. You got to move when he says move. Because he's only leading you to greater and greater blessings. And we must trust that God, as he leads us, he's going to only make things better in our life. He's not going to make things worse. Some people believe that. No, he will make things worse. At first you may not see it. But you're going to realize how everything will fall into place when you trust in Jesus. And when we relinquish all of our struggles and we find our rest in Jesus Christ, you know, the winds of storm may blow, but we're going to find ourselves fixed on the rock. We're hanging on to the rock, who is Jesus Christ. These winds may try to sweep us away, but we're holding on to Jesus, man. God will just show you greater and greater blessings. He's going to keep you safe. He's going to make sure you're not going to get swept away. You hold on to Jesus, the rock. You're going to be kept safe and secure. Amen. You know, I remember one time I was reading about this psychologist who was walking around the room, and she was teaching about stress management to an audience. And she had a glass like this, and she raised a glass of water to everyone. And everyone expected, okay, she's probably going to talk about whether or not you think this cup is half empty or half full. Because that's what usually, you know, you talk about stress management, that's what you think. Oh, is this glass half empty or half full? But you know, she didn't talk about that. Instead, she had a big smile on her face, and she asked this question, how heavy is this glass of water? So she's talking about the glass and the water. Right? How heavy do you think it is? And, you know, answers were caught out and ranged from like, what, 8 ounces, 15 ounces, 20 ounces. But then she replied, she says, the absolute weight doesn't matter. It depends how long I hold it. Think about this. If I hold it for a minute, if I just stretch my arm like this, hold it for a minute, I can do that, right? It's not a problem. But if I hold it for an hour, guess what's going to happen? It's going to start getting achy. Ugh. I'm going to try to hold it, but it gets achy. And if I hold it for a day, though, my arm will be numb and paralyzed. Just imagine holding this 24 hours. I'll probably go, you know, it'll be like so numb and paralyzed by the end of the day. And she says, in each case, the weight of the glass doesn't change. But the longer I hold it, the heavier it becomes. Just think about this. The amount of water doesn't change. The glass doesn't get heavier. But it gets heavier because why? It's because of us. We're holding on to this. And she's saying, in each case, the weight of the glass doesn't change, but the longer I hold it, the heavier it becomes. And she continued, the stresses and worries in life are like that glass of water. Think about them for a while and nothing happens. Think about them a bit longer and they begin to hurt. And if you think about them all day long, guess what? You're going to be paralyzed, incapable of doing anything. And she adds, it's important to remember to let go of your stresses as early as you can. Put all your burdens down. Don't carry them throughout the evening and into the night. Remember to put the glass down. We are not to carry this burden. We must give it to the Lord. Like the scripture I mentioned earlier, cast all your burdens upon the Lord and He will sustain you. The only way He can sustain you, to give you strength, you must put it down. And you say, Lord, it's yours. This is vital. This is key. So if you're not experiencing the peace of God, and you have this problem and it's crushing you, it means you haven't surrendered it to Him. Because God's peace will come and fill your soul, fill your spirit, when you say, Lord, it is yours. It is yours, Lord. Because we keep thinking about these problems. Guess what? They don't go away. It gets bigger and bigger. This problem will get so huge, and it may not be a big problem, that big of a problem to begin with, but your mind has allowed it to become this giant boulder of a problem. Maybe just a little tiny pebble. Suddenly, you're carrying this giant boulder. Why? Because your mind has allowed it to just get so big to the point it's really crushing you. Give it to God. There's no more. God says, I'm going to show you who I am now. You surrender to me. I'm going to stand strong in your life. I'm going to let miracles happen because you gave it to me. You must be willing to say, Lord, it is all yours. Look what it says here in Matthew 11, 28 to 29. It says here, Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And if you are burdened and heavy laden, Jesus says, I'll give you the kind of rest that will surely refresh you, restore your soul. And as you take that yoke, because a yoke is a harness, right? When you let God guide you, He's going to show you, you learn from God. Because remember, to learn from God, where do we have to be? At His feet. You got to be lowered in Jesus. Don't ever say, Lord, why are you taking so long? Lord, are you listening? And guess what? It seems like somehow we become God. Or we know better than God. It's in God's timing that we must trust. And we got to say, Lord, I'm learning from you. I got to stay where I am at your feet. And remember, Jesus says, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You see, He is in this humble position too. And He realizes the only way He can truly be ultimate blessing to all of us, He has to be humble Himself, because He is our example. And we are to follow what He did and how He carried Himself. We must die to ourselves daily so that we can live unto Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Number six there, He says, beside the still waters of refreshment. Beside the still waters of refreshment. Psalm 23:2 says, He makes me lie down in what? Green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and He refreshes my soul. And you know, my son Denson, He has an Xbox video game system, and it's so cool. You know, now you don't need those hand controllers. Do you know that? All you do is put that motion sensor on your TV and detects your moves. So that, you know, when you're playing a game, you just go like this. You know, that's it's so cool. But there's this one game, right? You're on this little raft, and you're on this fast-moving river. And now you gotta use your body, right? You gotta dodge like rocks and branches. You gotta jump over a bridge. And sometimes you feel like almost like Keanu Reeves in that movie. What is it?
Matrix.
Yeah. What is it? Matrix. Right. We go. Oof. And it's so cool, right? And you're like doing all these movements, but you know after the game is over, you're like exhausted, right? But you realize you gotta stay with it. You can't rest for a second. You gotta stay with it. Make sure you're dodging things and things coming at you. You gotta make sure you're moving. And they're all coming at you at a very fast pace. You guys ever had days like this in real life? Where it seems like, man, one thing after the other, one problem after the other. And sometimes you feel so overwhelmed, it seems like you can't breathe. It's like you're holding your breath. I wanted to get through this day, Lord. And you're just, oh man, you're just so overwhelmed and you feel like you're going to break. But you know what? Sometimes we just keep on going, don't we? Realize, man, there's a job that needs to be done. And you just keep on going. And you go and you go, but you're so worn out at the end of the day. And sometimes we think we're Superman, we're Superwoman. But we realize when God says, it's time to be still. Because He'll speak to me like that, Ben. Time to be still. I know you got a busy day. It's time to be still. Come rest with me. Sometimes I'll just go in a corner and I'll just pray. Say, Lord, I need you. I need you so much, Lord. Help me, sustain me through this day, Lord. And as we go to Him, you realize He's going to give you the peace, the strength that you need. I want you to take note of the words in Psalm 23:2. He says, it's italicized and in bold. It says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me. He leads me. Makes me. He leads me. And you know, sometimes people look at that verse and they say, wait a minute. Didn't you say, Pastor, that God never forces you to do anything? Yeah, well, it says here, He makes me. He's forcing me. Do you think God will force you to do something that you don't want to do? This is something that He knows is good for you. He knows you better than yourself. And He knows if you're at a breaking point, He's speaking to you just like how He speaks to me. Then chill out. Get with me right now. Get in my word. And it's up to us. Are we going to listen to Him? Because it's done in love. Just think about this. You know, like, I know there are times when I come home and I just talk on the phone with my wife and I say, oh man, I just really had a hard day. You know, just like a lot of people, you know, just been complaining and I just hear all these things, you know, in our business, you know, we have clients that has been telling us, oh, you know, our employees are this and that. I just had a terrible day, hon. And she goes, okay, just come home. And so as soon as I get home, I remember it's one time, I got home and my wife just takes me by the hand. She said, you're coming with me. You're going to go right on this couch and you're going to relax. And she gets me the TV remote and she gets me she knows I love coffee. She gets me a nice cup of coffee. And then sometimes she'll massage my shoulder and say, Ben, relax. I go, but I got, no. You're staying here, Ben. Going to relax. And sometimes she will get the Bible and she will read scripture to me. Suddenly my soul is restored. I want you to understand that's why God says, I'll make you lie down in that green pasture. I'll lead you in the still waters. You must listen to my voice. And I tell you to just do it. No matter how busy your day is, no matter how stressful it is, rest in God. You see that? That's the same way. God, He does it because He loves you. And He makes you because He knows. If you don't, who knows what can happen? We allow that stress to build up. So we listen and we allow God to restore our soul. Look what it says there in John 14:27. Jesus says, I am leaving you with a gift, a peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Jesus makes it plain and clear. This is a gift. His peace is a gift. What is that peace is all about? That peace is in your mind, it's in your heart. And he tells us it's not the same kind of peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. And the question is, what makes Jesus' peace different from the world's? What do you think makes it different from the world? Because how does the world provide us comfort and provide us peace? Words, right? Sometimes a pat on the back or just say, oh, it's going to be okay. And you know, you'll get through this. You know, I'm praying for you. And we hear all these things, and it does help, right? But, you know, sometimes we may hear all these things, but sometimes we get lifted up, but then suddenly we just get just like brought right back down. We may feel up, and then we go down. Oh, but, oh, still, I got this problem. Well, you know what? The peace that Jesus gives, you got to understand, is everlasting. His peace doesn't stop flowing. It's just like a faucet. You turn it on, and you see the water just running out, just running into the sink, right? The thing about the peace of God keeps on going. You may try to turn it off, but God says, no, it's not going to be turned off. It constantly flows. The peace of God constantly flows. But you may say, but Pastor, how come sometimes I don't feel his peace? Well, guess what? You haven't surrendered it to God. That's why you think it is off, but it isn't off. The peace of God keeps flowing. It never stops. You can't shut it off because God says, I want peace in your life always. There's no when. It's everlasting, my peace, Jesus says. It's only when in our mind, because we haven't surrendered. It's still in our mind. And like I talked about earlier, when it doesn't go away in our mind, it starts to get huge. And you're saying, okay, the peace of God is no longer here. And God says, no, my peace is right here. And we realize, because the word of God tells us, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We can be assured that this peace is constantly flowing. And whenever there's time, you feel like that peace isn't there. Just say, Lord, I haven't surrendered something to you. And then you say, Lord, I give it. Then you're going to hear that rushing water again. Shh. Peace just coming right into my soul. That's what it takes, brothers and sisters, for us to give it to him. Now here's the bottom line verse. Take a look at this verse in the bottom of the page here. In Psalm 95, 7, it says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. And you realize, when we are where Jesus wants us to be, where are we? We are in his pasture. Because Jesus calls himself what? The great shepherd, right? And we are the people of his pasture. What kind of animal does that make us?
Sheep.
We're supposed to be like sheep, right? And if you kind of know about sheep, they're not the smartest animals in the world. But somehow we got to be described as sheep, right? But realizing that Jesus is the great shepherd and we are the sheep, because Jesus is the great shepherd. You know, let me ask you something. What do you think makes a great shepherd so great? What is it about the best of the best shepherds that makes them so awesome, so wonderful? What is it about their job? What do they do with the sheep? They use their what? Their staff? What do they do? What's the first? To hit them? No. To what? Guide them? To make sure they kept safe? Like all the things we talk about. Make sure they kept safe. Make sure that, you know, they're provided for and all that, right? Would you agree that that is probably the most important job of a shepherd? Well, you know, that's what I thought. Oh, was that brother?
To protect,
yeah. And I thought that's what it is. That's just the main role of a shepherd to do. But you know what? When we talk about Jesus being our great shepherd, I remember one time someone was another pastor that told me this. This is what he said. He said, you know what, Ben? What I discovered is the best shepherds, they smell like sheep. What do you mean? I don't get that. And I had to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show it to me. What does that mean? Best shepherds smell like sheep. Because you think about this. If a shepherd is not just, you know, protecting them, providing them, shepherd is getting down, humbling himself. Because Jesus said himself, I have not come to be served, but to serve. He's embracing the sheep. He's giving them all they need, but he's hugging them. He's embracing them. He's talking to them. Oh, you're looking so good today. Wow, you're doing so well. Oh, I'm so happy that you're doing like so great. You know, you're not getting lost like the other ones. You know, they're always, he's always like talking to them, embracing them, having intimacy with them. And you realize, because such closeness with the shepherd and the sheep, that you know that the shepherd has a scent on the sheep. This makes me wonder, when all of us as believers, when we're going to stand before Jesus in heaven, you can just go, imagine smelling Jesus, and you smell your scent on him. Because you realize in those times when you were shedding tears, when you were in the world of hurt, you didn't realize this, but his arms were around you. He was embracing you. He was telling you, oh, child, I love you. Child, I'm going to sustain you. Lord, he's saying, give it to me. He's saying, child, give me your burdens. That's why we know our sin is upon the shepherd. But for us, we got to realize, for this to happen, we got to come with a heart that is fully surrendered to him. A heart that is humbled before him so that he can truly show himself in a way that we know he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, that he's always there for us. I want to conclude by showing you this video. It is called The Life of Worship, and it basically tells us you can experience the presence of God in ways that will truly make your spirit know that he's alive. We must make those times just to say, Lord, I want to be with you. Lord, I surrender all. Because when you do, you know his presence will get stronger. And you're going to see his hand at work. I'm going to ask Arthur, can you roll that video, please? Experience God every day of our lives, but it takes us Or we're going to make excuses. Oh, I don't have time. No, I got to do this, I got to do that. And the Lord is saying, spend time with me, child. Because I want to restore your soul. I want to refresh your spirit. And as we say, yes, Lord, you're going to experience the presence of God coming forth. And I got to tell you, there's no other place you would want to be. Because remember those places I talk about? Yeah, they're beautiful. You know, the scenery, the ocean view, the mountain view, and all that stuff, and all the things you can do. But you know what? There's no beautifuler, is that a word? Beautifuler place, more beautiful place than the presence of God. And when you're in the presence of God, you know all is well. Because God has come. God is here. And He says, I love you. I love you, child, more than you shall ever know. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before God? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord. We love to glorify you. We love to honor you. We love to praise your most holy name. And there's no other place we'd rather be than in the presence of our Lord God and King. I thank you, Lord. Your presence abounds in this very place. I know, Lord, I'm experiencing your presence. All my brothers and sisters, we know, Lord, your presence abounds here. Because our hearts are in tune with your Holy Spirit. And when we worship you, your word tells us you inhabit our praises. Thank you, Lord, for making your presence so powerful, so mighty, right here, right now. I thank you, Lord, knowing your love never ceases. Father, I pray right now, if any of my brothers or sisters are struggling with something in their life, maybe a worry or anxiety that just doesn't want to go away, that we're carrying this burden and we haven't released it to you. Father, I ask now that your Holy Spirit will come and counsel my brother and sister. That they will come to a realization that the only way to receive your peace is they must surrender it to you fully and completely. Because we know your peace keeps flowing. It never stops. And I pray, Father, as they submit it to you and surrender it to you, resist the devil. You know the devil, he's out of here. And in comes your peace. And if that's your heart, you're saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I realize I've been having some struggles that I just can't let go. But I realize through the word that was spoken today, I must let go. And if you're saying, Lord, I am giving it to you, fully surrendering it to you, can you raise your hand right now so I can pray for you? Raise your hand and say, that's me, Lord. I'm surrendering it to you. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep your hands up and say, Lord, I surrender. Can you just say, Lord, I surrender it to you now? Lord, I surrender it to you. I give it to you, Lord. I give it to you, Lord. Just let His power and presence come upon you now. Hallelujah. Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. But most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, oh Lord, I'm so sorry I haven't been able to give fully of myself unto you. I haven't been able to fully surrender, Lord, my burdens to you. But Lord, I give it all to you now. Father, if this is the cry of their heart, Father God, I pray right now as you have taken all of the hurts and the pains, the shame and the guilt. Father, I pray right now, will you replace that, Lord, with the overflowing peace in their hearts. I pray, Lord, you will replace that with your joy, with your strength, with your love, Lord. Just let it continually flow right now, Father. Let it flow. Oh, let it flow, Father God. Let it flow. In Jesus' name, let it flow. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Father God, I just pray, Lord, just let your presence abound, Lord, continue to abound in this place. Father God, I just pray, Lord, as my brothers and sisters are restored now, as their soul is refreshed and restored, I pray, Lord, as they step out of this sanctuary, oh, they're going to go out into the world and people will truly see Jesus Christ shining in their lives. They will have the brightness, the illumination of Jesus Christ in their lives. And people will know that they truly belong to you. They belong to our Father God. Hallelujah, Lord, for what you have done. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for some of you, maybe saying, Pastor Ben, I've heard about people talking about having relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Because I want to know Jesus. Well, you can start by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart. And as you pray this prayer, you know that our Father God is listening right now. And as you express this with all sincerity, God says, I'm going to come in into your life. I'm going to show you who I am. And if you are ready, and if you are willing to say, yes, Lord, I want to give my life to you. This is something you've never done before, but you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to surrender all of me unto you. With all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can you just raise your hand and say, yes, I want to say yes to Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Say yes to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. We're going to pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray together as a family. And just really mean this from our heart. We're testifying. We're saying exactly what we know is to be true within our lives. We just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he now lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me. So that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him. And I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's give him a clap offering. Praise him.